Hey everyone, it's Sean from Gaming and BS and How to RPG and the short run of GM Mastermind. Some of you are aware that I stream every Saturday morning on YouTube at 8 a.m. Central Time. Check it out at howto2rpg.com. I'll put a link in the show notes if you'd like to join. The chat is very active. As a matter of fact, if it wasn't for the chat, I probably wouldn't be able to go on with the show as long as it has been going on. I would love to see you there if you haven't participated. The following audio is from the April 15th, 2023 recording, and it involves Brett. So here's another little treat, a little Gaming and BS reunion where Brett and I talk about specifically a main topic that was kind of at the top of our heads at the moment. I hope you enjoy it. So what do you want to talk about? He said, I don't know, whatever you want. I said, okay, don't you have anything? And he says, how about spotlight hogging? Because I think Brett might be experiencing that in his group. So without further ado, Brett!
Good to Sean,
see you,
man.
Okay, good to see you, buddy.
And you, I was just gonna go get some coffee, and I'm like,
8:15, 2 minutes.
Not bad.
If you want to go, I could probably talk for another five.
No, I'll be fine. I might break in a bit. We'll see how far we go.
So, for those of you not in the know, Brett and I hosted Gaming and BS because BS stands for a couple things, not to be.
They even wore my old school shirt, man.
He did. He was wearing a shirt. We did it for 7 years, over 400 episodes. So we sunsetted that in June. But Brett and I did not break up like Simon and Garfunkel. Kept in touch. And, you know, having him on the show is not like a point of contention. So
no, it's not. At least usually not.
What's going
until
on?
Sean just wants to tell me how wrong I am when that just makes me sad.
Come on.
Come on. What's going on?
What's going on in the gaming space of Brett? Like what? What are you running? Let me guess. D&D. AD&D.
Yeah. Ravenloft.
Ravenloft?
Yeah. My buddy, I do a thing often where I ask my gaming group, I'm like, what do you guys want to do? And a number of people are like, oh, I don't know, whatever. And Lenny hit me up. He said, I've never played in Ravenloft. I'm like, really? He said, no, never. Like, is it like a campaign or anything like that? And I said, well, I'm going to do a little quasi bait and switch reveal thing. So we started off in Greyhawk. They made a mercenary company and they were like the last of this. You set them up in Midiarrays where it's like they're the last group of like 12 surviving the big slaughter. They're running away. They encounter some weirdness. The mists occur. And next thing you know, when they walk out of the creepy mansion, they're in Ravenloft. Well, hell. So they're trying to figure things out. Who's who, what's what. And some of them are trying to figure out if they want to get home. Other people are trying to figure out why they got pulled in and so on. So far, so good. It's been a lot of fun. I've got, let's see here. That's the main one that I'm running.
Are you running that AD&D, the original
I9?
Oh, okay.
Well, not the original module, just the, I mean, it's the second edition setting. The guys wanted to use first edition rules.
Oh.
So the box sets, the maps, Darkon versus Falkovnia with Barovia and the, you know, the Rift and blah, 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 blah.
So you're not running the module as
no.
The original.
No, I'm not running the original module. That was the request. And it's kind of fun when I, for me, because the guys I'm game with, my core group, when I pull something out like that, when someone says, hey, I'd like to play this, I'm like, oh, I can do that. That sounds fun. I know what somebody's into it. And then, you know, you go through it and the group's like, oh, this is pretty cool. And I'm like, yeah, Lenny asked for it. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a good idea. So at least I know at that point when I brought out an idea, at least one dude's into it. Somebody's into it. And the rest of the group, if you want to say you don't like it, you got to disappoint both me and that person. So a little more buy-in, maybe. That's pretty cool. AJ's still running his, I'm really proud of him and Alana because they're both running campaigns at the house like every week or every other week. which is cool. They finally found some good gaming groups to run with, which is a lot of fun.
Are they running 5th edition still? Or?
Yep, that's what they wanted to run. My youngest is a lot like me, where she's constantly tinkering and playing and figuring out, like, ooh, maybe I could make this system, or I could build that thing, or whatever. She just loves to. She's the same person who likes to deconstruct languages and figure out teaching herself, you know, Hmong and, well, in German class, and figuring out, you know, she loves that crap, like tearing pieces and parts apart and making stuff. So kind of, I think she got that from me. Never quite happy with it as written. I want to see if I can make it better, you know, type of thing. So that's pretty cool. What have you been doing, man?
So gaming every week, alternating weeks with alternating groups. One, we just did session zero for Star Wars. So that group was the previous Forbidden Lands group.
Which Star Wars?
FFG.
Okay.
Force 5 from Alderaan premise. So it's going to be a short arc.
Yeah, but you've been wanting to do that for a while.
I have. But what, I mean, what is that? It's just the tone, right?
Well, I know, but I'm just saying, you and I have, you've talked about that with me for 7 years previously.
Yeah.
And like having a focus on, I think that's going to be fun for you. Yeah. If nothing else, just to see how it works.
Right. So we have two people that have not played the game before. Mm-hmm. So going to start session 1 in 2 weeks, and hopefully it'll only be, you know, maybe 3 sessions, ideally. And I don't see why I wouldn't. I think I can wrap Star Wars up pretty easily. The other alternating week is the ongoing longer Delta Green Impossible Landscapes campaign.
How is that going? that's either a good laugh or a bad laugh. You're like, oh.
I will say it's interesting. It's how do I say this? Because like, there's probably two or three of the guy. One, at least one of the guys is in the chat. I don't think
players,
it's any.
Are your players fucking it up?
No, suck, no, it's
terrible.
I laugh because it's a very. It's a big campaign. It's got a lot of stuff to it.
Well, just physically, the book is imposing from a campaign perspective.
The book is big, and there are things that you know, if the in any Delta Green game, if the players just decide to go left instead of right. You know, you got to kind of roll with it. So, and it's funny, and I laugh because last session, it started out with like 5 people. Now we're down to 3. And then, but Edwin was out. So we had 2 players, but it was at a point in kind of how things were going that I could run with 2.
Got it.
While those 2 got arrested, literally
as happens.
Well, they
so it does, and that's the funky part about an investigation game like Delta Green. You're trying to be all that shit's possible
for sure.
The wrong thing, the wrong amount of pressure. You punch the wrong NPC. You yell at the wrong person. You speed down the road at the wrong time.
Yeah,
and one thing leads to another, and. Well, you're looking at doing a nickel in the local pen. Like, really?
Yeah. So now, but I didn't see that coming. Like, I'm like, you know, it's, and it wasn't, yeah. But I think most of the guys have the campaign, but they haven't read it, or they glossed over it briefly, but they don't have a lot. You know, maybe they read the first few pages and then set it aside because they were going to play it. So when we get done and they start like looking at it and reading it, and if they run it, they're going to probably be like, holy cow, like we did this, we didn't do that. How did this come up? So yeah, Harrigan says I've read nothing and it shows. So it's fun, but it's Delta Green can be a big challenge on running. And especially if it's a campaign setting, or even a published adventure, because as opposed to pre-published, of course.
Correct.
But if you're doing that, you kind of have they do a relatively good job of saying, okay, if this happens and then this happens, and oh, by the way, if they don't cover their tracks here, it's going to come and bite them in the ass later and all this. But when it's as
it's very open-ended. It's very open-ended and large. And you can only flowchart out so much.
Right, right.
I can't remember. I think it might have been, shit, who said it? But it was like, you know, plans are worthless, but planning is everything. Right? So you've got to be prepared and understand it, but you can't, in that type, at least in my experience anyway, and I think you're feeling the same thing, if you try to say, no, you're off script type of deal, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
And they're going to go other ways. And for my money, in heavy investigative games like Delta Green, where what I mean by investigative, of course, is when the players are, they have to go find the clues, put it together, and follow a chain of reasoning. There's no obvious quest. It can be very nebulous thing to solve. They're trying to get the details. They can be pinned in by a chain of reasoning that makes no sense to anyone but them.
Oh, that has occurred as well.
Yeah, where you suddenly describe how an NPC delivers data, and Brett goes, "Oh my god,
yeah,
that means they did it." And Harrigan looks at me and goes, "I don't know if you're right." "No, man." And then we argue back and forth, and suddenly I got Harrigan on my side. I'm like, "Yeah. It's this. He's the son of a bitch who did it. We got to track him down." It turned out it's not. Sean just used a strange turn of phrase or misspoke or any number of things, or I just read it wrong. And the players could suddenly be off, you know, looking for every red herring they can find. Self-imposed.
I've had that happen too. So I've run a few scenarios at Delta Green. So I won't mention what group it was or anything. But yeah, it was. It's funny because one of the guys in the Forbidden Lands group, Phil McClory, has run this one of the scenarios I ran, and I told him what was going on. He's like, "What? What are they doing?" And I go, "Dude, I don't know." He's like, "Oh my god!" And so he's kind of bouncing off like what the situation is and what direction the player characters are going. So then you have to kind of adjust on the fly and try to still get them the stuff that they need to move forward with what's going on, and it, you know, and but that's okay. It's fine. It's like a weird. So we talk about doing homebrew, mm-hmm. right? And you're like, I'm gonna make up my homebrew setting, and all, you know, I know everything, and I don't need
design my own adventure,
and it's yep. all up here, and I can make some notes, and I can convey that to the party, and since it's my thing, it's kind of in my brain. I don't have to remember what I read for three chapters and the points and the relationships, because it's kind of like it's coming from my heart, my brain.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get published, which is on the other end. So you're like, oh, okay. You walk into a tavern and this person sees you, blah, 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 blah. In Delta Green, it's like you have the published adventure, but it doesn't mean any of it's going to go the way you want it to at all.
So I'll tell you, man, even I ran, I think I've talked about this back in the old show, but I ran a White Blue Mountain first edition game years and years ago. And my buddy Kevin Cthulhu was there, and we just had a blast. And characters were dying left, right, and center. And it was fucking murder. Instant super tetanus. People died from that. All sorts of shit. And he posted this on Twitter somewhere. I can't remember which, or G Plus back in the old days.
Yeah.
And somebody says, "Your DM sucks," i.e. me, "because that adventure is not that brutal." And I'm like, Kevin's like, "I don't know, man. I was there. I've read it, and it can be." But so he and I were talking about it. This is years ago, but I remember the conversation. And I'm like, "Man, did I fuck something up?" And he said, "No, you just reacted to what we did." He said, "It was all within." He said, "I know that adventure, but it was all within the spirit of what we did." He said, "We were doing some crazy, stupid shit. We got frustrated, and somebody went, 'Fine, I touch it.'" It's like, you know, they got frustrated. Like, I hit it with my sword. They got to that annoying point where they did something dumb, you know, and then the Oni almost kills them. Like, ah, fuck. They did some really clever things and avoided some things that may have been certain death, but they literally, you know, did some of the dumbest things possible. Practically like, well, whatever, I'll drink it, see what happens, you know. Yeah. And that's the piece, the published adventure or whatever, you can't bank on the players doing the quote unquote right thing or the written thing. No matter how juicy that bait looks in front of them, sometimes they're like, yeah, you know what? I really want a dry cracker, and they walk away. they leave the other thing. You just wander off on you. It happens.
Yeah. Orcus Dorcus. He's been involved in Impossible Landscapes. Mm-hmm. He started out earlier than I did, and he says, you know, Delta Green scenarios can be rough, but toss in the King in Yellow, and it adds a whole new twisted element that moves it outside your standard Delta Green game, which is true. Like, I think with this Impossible Landscapes, it'll be an interesting, I'll do a video on it because I did a video on running Forbidden Lands, like some tips for people that are like, I've never run this. What should I keep in mind?
The how-tos, yeah.
Yeah, some of the pitfalls and things like that. And if somebody's going to run Impossible Landscapes, I'll have to make a relatively short, succinct list of how to use it that, or at least put them in the headspace where instead of reading it and going, all right, I kind of got this. And then, whoop, and you're like, oh man, I have absolutely none of this.
So I think I have played in Horror on the Orient Express, right? And yeah. Mask of Nyarlathotep and Masks. And you can, it's a globe. Both of those are massive.
They
as
are.
As far as you could go all over the goddamn globe. You could grab the wrong clue in Masks and end up in Africa way before, quote unquote, you should be in Africa. Could happen easily. And part of what's, for me, one of the things that's a challenge in the Cthulhu Mythos realm of games is that the chain of reasoning, the logic, understanding the bad guy's motivations and so forth is impossible if it's the King in Yellow, if it's Haster, if it's Nyarlathotep itself, Cthulhu. These are alien, bizarre-ass entities. You'd have to chat about that before, but it's... I subscribe very much to, like, you can't understand it.
No.
You literally can't. And it can be very frustrating for some players because, like, yeah, but all the signs point to this. Why is it not this thing? I don't know. Ask Yogg-Sothoth. I got nothing. It's just
in Impossible Landscapes with the King and Yell, and Orcus Dorcus knows the deal. It's turned up to like 20. If Masks and Murder or Horror on the Orient Express are like Call of Cthulhu games turned up to 10, Impossible Landscapes turned up to 20. And I only say that because I don't think it's any secret. It's because people find themselves in a reality that doesn't, like, it's not the same. Like that's
part of the fun of that game and that entity, the King of Yellow and stuff. So
we could hash on that for a little while.
Oh, totally, man.
But one of the things you had mentioned was spotlight hogging. And Brett, come on. Who's doing it, man? Just tell me. Is it Lenny? It's Lenny,
no,
isn't
no, 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 Zave. No, it's not.
It's
a little bit. A little bit.
Just call him out on the show. It's Zave, Alpha, Beta.
It's Zave and Nick. Zave and Nick.
Two of them.
Yeah. So what's interesting is it's like I jokingly call it spotlight hogging. And I think what's interesting is I've seen this in a number of groups over the years. And I think some of my players, we all do it in my gaming group. It depends who's running or whatever it is. Sometimes when there's a scene happening with another player and you're adjacent to it, your character's adjacent or you're, you know, whatever, it is very, it's fun to watch other people have fun sometimes, right? You're like, oh my God, Lenny's in a bind. Ooh, let's see what happens. You know, a little one-on-one action. Let's see what goes. And sometimes we natively in my group source the table. Someone go, hey, here's an idea. And then we'll play off of it back and forth and whatnot. That's cool. And sometimes, though, and I'm just picking on Nick and Zave because it happened last time. We had a fun encounter in Ravenloft. And it was set where it was Alpha and Lenny were the two going to interact with the weird little goblin creature. And it was, so it sounds arrogant, but it was so much fun. We were having so much fun that Nick and Zave literally could not contain themselves. They had to get in on the action. Well, my character would wake up and there's like, and I would do this and I'm going to do this. I'm going to get involved because they didn't want to miss out on the fun. And I had a flash in my head that said, I should tell them no. I should shut them down. But they were having, everybody wanted to have fun, right? At this moment. And I didn't know how to say, no, sit down. That's not your cookie. It's theirs. You know, let them eat their cookie and you can have, y'all get you next time type of thing. In that moment, I wasn't sure how to politely, because these guys are my friends. You know, I've known these guys for 30 some years, and not be, dude, shut the fuck up. You know, I've done that in the past. You know, if things get way out of hand, I can hammer on somebody. Because again, I've known them for a long time. But I'm like, I don't want to cause a fight or have this weird explosion. So you kind of like, you try to ease people into stuff. But when there's so much fun happening, people, I'm in. It's like, give them an inch, take a mile type of thing. And I've since thought through the scene. It happened when mostly characters, were sleeping. And the creature wakes up Alpha while Lenny's trying to talk to him. And it's basically just a three creature scene, two players, characters, and my little monster. So what I should have done, you know, because it's a mystical, magical thing, I could have said, no one else can wake up. You guys are dead asleep. You don't even hear this. You know, I could have shut them down and their characters wouldn't have been involved. But it was, I could see that Lenny was annoyed. And Alpha was annoyed. And annoying Alpha is really hard. You hit Alpha with a 2x4 and he's like, come on, really? You know, 5 more of those, I'm going to be mad at you. It takes a lot to get Alpha frustrated. But he was pretty frustrated about it. And I thought, and I was trying to figure out, you know, what the hell could I have done? And I think one of the reasons why it was frustration and not anger was that I don't think Zave and Nick realized what they were doing. It was just, they wanted to have fun. You know, at that moment, it just was the most fun thing happening and they wanted to be engaged.
They were on the ride, man, and they wanted to be on the ride too.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get it.
And I think that, so again, thinking about it post is then in Delta Green or other games when you split the party, right? And it happens a lot for me anyway in Call of Cthulhu style games or World of Darkness games. And people are like, all right, you go over here, you go over there, you talk to the cop, you head over there. And you're doing your smash cuts and you're jumping back and forth. And sometimes the scene for players A, B, and C is a hell of a lot more fun than for D&E. For whatever reason, you know, the player who went after the homeless people shows up and realizes all the homeless people are murdered in the little back alley. Oh my God, there's clues all over the place and there's gore and blood and crazy descriptions.
It's part of the scenario.
Yeah. And you're like, wow, that sounds like fun. Not that dead homeless people's fun, but that's in the story scenario. Ah, here we got something. And somebody else wants to go talk to the librarian and try as you might, the librarian, first off, doesn't know a fucking thing. You're on the wrong track. It's a stupid red herring and it's boring, quite frankly, compared to all the dead people in the alley. Yeah. Or this big thing that you discovered. And it is very natural for players to say, can I join them now? I'd be over there because this would have ended and I would have been over there, right? Yeah, so I'm on my way, right? And they want to logic their way into the action because it's fun. It's what's going on. And what I often do normally is someone will say, well, I would be there, but not yet. You're on your way. Okay, cool. Let me know when I get there. Because that's the, you know, pause button, you know, the snooze hit. I'm just hang on. Let me play a little bit over here. And then at a good time, like, and Zave arrives. Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. Oh, God. Oh, tell me all about the dead bodies. Oh, I heard everything. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. You know, they go through the spiel. But I think it's interesting in that it's, I thought about it as like the spotlight's over here. And so it's like, oh, I want that. And they kind of try to come in and chew the scenery a little bit, like, oh, no, me, look at me, you know. Reminds me of the old, what was it, the 70s Batman TV show where Burt Ward said that if he didn't, one of the reasons that Robin used to spit his lines out so wicked fast was because Adam West would stomp on his lines whenever possible because you don't want anybody else to talk. And I think it's really natural that people want to get in on the fun when the group is split up, you know. Or if something's happening, even in a fight, in a classic D&D fight, something happens and everybody wants to go fight the biggest, baddest thing. There's the, you know, the undead necromancer and a handful of skeletons and zombies. Nobody wants to deal with the mooks, man. Nobody wants to pull mook guard. Everyone wants the necromancer. That's where the juice is. That's where I want to go. So anyway, I thought it was interesting and I think it's sometimes it's purposefully damaging, where some people are just dicks. And if they don't have the attention, they will do anything they can to disrupt the game, steal stuff, make sure it stays on them at all times, won't relinquish, you know, don't like it when anybody else. But I think this is just a different form of kind of spotlight thieving in a way, is there's too much fun happening somewhere else. They want to get engaged. And so that's my little story on that, Sean. Have you had that? And what do you do with it? Or are your games just not that fun?
My players kind of sit tight and they
wait for the magic.
They wait patiently, knowing that that somebody's it's their scene, if you will. They may be biting their lip the whole time, you know, literally on the edge of their seats going, oh God, if I were just there, I could say this. I could. Yeah. And there are players that will maybe say, okay, well, I'm not there. I could probably give you a
I get that sometimes,
piece of advice. And then it's, the player does look at the other player and go, okay, well, go ahead. And then the game master will be, do you let that person chime in? And
yeah, do you
you're
let
not,
them give
you're
advice?
Not there. You're not there.
Yeah. Exactly. You know, hold on.
Or you just go, whatever. I don't care. If you want to tell them, that's fine. So I don't get that very often with the groups that I play with recently now, but I understand why it happens. The only thing I would say in your situation, because you've brought kind of clearly painted the picture, if you will, in the example, is, I mean, one way around it is you try to make the library interesting.
Yeah, and sometimes that's not easy because you're I got nothing.
You're going up and down rows of books. Fun, you know. Yeah.
I'm a pretty creative guy, and I do a lot of improv, but like, I'm tapped on this one. I got nothing, you know.
Yeah.
That happens.
Yeah. The one thing I have a concern with, going to your point, is that time thing, because I think in like the situations where you split parties, which aren't okay. So in the games that you split the party, it's usually because they're not known for you to just disappear without a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not required that, you went into a room that requires a thief and you're not the thief and you're by yourself and you can't defend yourself.
The scenario is built for this. Like, yes. There's too many threads for you guys to go en masse. You and Shaggy go this way, you know, we're going to split up. You got to split the Scooby Gang, because if you don't, you'll never get it done.
But I think the reason people don't split up is because they're used to getting totally screwed if they're by themselves. In the games that encourage it, it doesn't happen like as people would think. You could totally get screwed over by yourself, but usually that's not the thing.
Well, that's usually your fault, right? If you go and try to talk to the librarian, you decide that you're going to be a jerk and punch the librarian in the face. Well, guess who gets arrested? Well, now you're in trouble. Well, that's your fault. You're the one, you're the dumbass who punched the librarian.
It's not because a, you know, shambling mound is coming down the you have no exit and it's going to eat you.
Yeah.
Having said that, where was I going to go with this? So they split up. The problem I have is in those situations and in those games where the party can split up is it's a timing thing. So it's like, okay, you guys meet for breakfast and you've kind of decided which direction each one of you are going to go.
Correct.
After you kind of pay the bill, you get in your cars and you go and do your thing. Yep. So whether a thing takes longer to drive there and yours doesn't, I think that sometimes, I mean, as Gary Gygax says, you can't run a good role-playing game without proper timekeeping.
We've heard.
But at the same time, there is something to be said about, I mean, yes, we can waive a lot of that. I probably have a shortcoming in doing that. Like, I think some of the guys that have played in my Delta Green games joked about me giving them like long leashes. Like, just, I don't stop. I don't cut the scene. They just go until it's done and they keep going and going and going. And I let them, they would say, I let them hang themselves. But at the same time, that's not always the best way to do it. So going to your point, you're on your way. Does it make sense that they went to the library, did their research, and then travel back to wherever the other half of the party is to be there to take place in the fun. In other words, is the ride still going?
Yeah.
Right.
Or is it, and there's oftentimes I find out that I'm like, I'm going to, yeah, you're on your way there. There's no logical reason why you go from the library to go check on Steve, who happens to be in the graveyard. You wouldn't do that because there's eight of you or five of you, and you're all in potentially interesting places. But suddenly everyone just got a weird psychic vibe to go check on Steve. You know, like, that's weird. No yes. one called Steve. No right. one, no right. one texted anybody. Right. Yeah. Nothing happened, but you just heard.
Yeah.
So kind of hand wave that.
It's Steve's got to be having more fun than I am right now.
Exactly. At
the library. And so.
All four of the other players think that the fifth guy's having a good time. Clearly. The other thing I found is that, and maybe this is me, and you can tell me if you've seen this too, is that an online game, I have less of that. Because whenever I've run online games, because of the nature of an online conversation, at least for me anyway, there's less stepping on each other's voices back and forth. It's your turn, your turn, your turn, your turn, your turn. When I run a game, a lot of times the online stuff, if two people, three people start talking at once,
yeah, it's
online overloads me. It overloads everybody else. Whoa, 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 easy, easy. I can't hear anybody. But if I'm in a gaming group in a room and three people talk at once, in person, I parse it. I'm like, okay, hang on. Yes, no, maybe. Right. You know, and I get talking, but for whatever reason online, my old brain goes, ah, and I flip out. And I see most people I've played with. So I don't know if that would if that carries for everybody else, but I have found this to be a more in-person thing. And the other thing I have found is that it's not fair, at least to me, I feel bad if I make Sean sit with his boring decision. Like, too bad you chose to talk to librarian, and librarian was going to drone on for an hour and a half and tell you nothing, and make you sit there while quote unquote everyone else is having fun. It feels like a punishment, right? You made a bad decision. Can we just wrap up the bad decision? Yeah, an hour and a half goes by. You realize this librarian doesn't know shit. They're just pontificating on, you know, time-space theories. Like, wow, okay, I'm out. I wasted an hour and a half. I don't make you sit there for an hour and a half, right? To punish you, but allow you to move on, which is why I think I tend to hand wave the, I'm going to go check on Steve, right? Yeah, fine. Steve's having the most fun. Everybody to Steve. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Oh, no, it's Jane. Off we go. Let's go see what she's got going, you know, or, you know, Lily's got something. Let's go see what she's up to. Everybody's kind of runs in that direction. I'm normally fine with it, but I think it, for whatever reason, it was really, I thought there was plenty of stuff going on. This is why it kind of baffled me in the Ravenloft game was, I'm like, there was a lot of cool shit. A lot of, I mean, really, oh my God, this is creepy. Oh, wow, this is kind of funky. Oh, fuck, there's this. Oh God, geez. Oh God, that's gross. Blah, 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 blah. Horror, horror, horror. And then this one thing occurred. Everybody's like, I want in on that too. And I wonder if part of it, for me, was that it was all group, 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 and then the first real split. They haven't split up. They haven't had any separate scenes, really. The last time they had any separate scenes were, well, I'm going to wander through town, talk to the blacksmith, talk to this person. And those were very, you know, just snap, 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 in, out, done. There was no real encounter separately at all until this point. And the first one was fun. I had a really good time with it, and so were Alpha and Lenny. And I wonder if that was, it's kind of like, oh, I'm used to being involved in everything, and suddenly I wasn't involved. So that could have been like a little gamer psychology as to like, well, I was there. Well, how come I'm not there this time? It's clearly happening near the camp. We are all here. Why can't I wake up? And we all try to logic our way into why I'm there. You know, why did I go to the graveyard? Well, that's where Steve is, and Steve's my best friend. You hate Steve. No, no, no. It says right here, best friend. You know, I'm going to see Steve and Lily because they're doing, you know.
So
it could be a number. Could be a number of reasons why it happened, but I'm trying to figure out. I want to have decent ways to deal with it when it happens and not be a, you know.
Dude.
And I just do the shut up, you're not there.
You should run a game with those guys, and no matter what direction they go, is absolutely boring as crap. And then the other half whatever they do is the most exciting. I ran a Cthulhu game
for these guys once ages back. They all chose to do the dumbest shit. Insofar as there was nothing, they like followed every red herring all like one evening. Like, all right, we're gonna go through a list. Let's check off this. Let's check Tim. Let's check Julie. Let's check this thing. And someone go to their library. And all of them were bad. As far as there's nothing. And they were convinced there had to be something. There's no way all six of us could have chosen something stupid. And no, you all chose something horribly stupid. It was really boring for them. They were very, very frustrated. And then the group gets back together at their little hideout type of thing, and they're all hanging out, and oh, Jesus Christ. And Alpha goes, well, at least we know all of that has nothing to do with what the fuck is going on. He goes, it hurt, but it's done. Now we don't have to worry about it. Just cross it off the list type of thing.
It reminds me of like an episode where a guy is new to a group or something, or person's new to a group, and that starts to occur, and they notice the pattern. And then they try to broach it with the GM, and the GM is totally clueless. Like, oh, I don't really. I mean, that's weird.
Am I doing that?
Well, you know, maybe it's just you. Maybe you're not taking the initiative to maybe go in the right direction. I don't know. It's just strange. You're like, then it goes to the next, like three sessions later, and then it's still occurring. It's
exactly the same.
The person rage quits or something.
That's funny. So I think what the other piece I wanted to bring up on it was, I think sometimes spotlight theft. So not only like in this case, it was like, hey, that's where the fun is.
They stole it.
Yeah, they steal it. Or sometimes when they want to hog it or hang on to it, I think sometimes there's asshole reasons, right? I'm a jerk. I don't want anybody else to have fun. I'm only here to chew all the scenery all the time. Right. I'm a Hammer horror film guy. I'm going to just gnaw the hell out of this.
I'm here to win. I'm going to win.
For whatever reason,
these jokers.
No, they ain't got it. I think the other thing that I kind of, one of my post thinking about the game section was, I'm like, well, if I want to put like the silver lining on the thing, I could have done better. But the fact is, that was fun. It was so fun. My little encounter, the thing with the little goblin critter, was so entertaining. Everybody wanted to be part of it. That's cool. That means I designed a really cool encounter, and we played it well, and it was a lot of fun. So the other thing to take away from that for me is that this group right now in this setting with these characters, they like this circle. They like this type of activity. They enjoyed this thing. I can lean into that more. I can bring the little goblin creature back if I want to, or have similar encounters because they thought that was entertaining. So if I do it again, everyone at the table enjoyed it. So I'm like, oh, I could have a Nick encounter, Zave, Alpha, Beta, Lenny, you know, I could split them all up. Or in different pockets, if they each get a taste of it, I'm like, oh, that'd be cool because they all like that sort of thing. Oh, they all had fun. What's that? a little sugar, a little spice being dished out there. Yeah. And I think, I think that's kind of, that's fun when you're looking at a campaign because I've told you many times, I've played with these guys for a very, very long time. But one of the things I like about it though is that we're trying different stuff. Like, hey, everyone's trying to play different characters over the last few years. Like, look, I played this a lot. I want to play this. Nick has made a character that he hasn't played before. He's playing an assassin, an evil character. He hasn't done that ever. And he's like, look, I want to do something that is a little more selfish, blah, blah, blah. And Zave's like, I don't want to be a cleric. I want to be just a meathead. I want to do something different, you know, like I used to ages back. So everybody's pulling out these kind of this different stuff, if you will. And I think the as they're trying different things, and then I want to try different stuff, you know, to see does this type of encounter work, or I have an idea. Let's see if it flies. So I think a good sign from a spotlight stealing type of perspective can be like, hey, that worked. Everybody loved it. maybe I could have implemented it slightly better, maybe not in the camp, maybe when people were separated, or I could have, you know, split it up a little bit different. But the idea is sound. They all loved it. So that's a good sign. And sometimes if you find something like that, I've learned, if I look again, looking back on it, that sometimes you got that player or two players, they're very quiet, a little more passive. But if you find that is the thing, whatever you just did was the thing that they got excited about, suddenly they all want to go to the graveyard and see what Steve and Julia were doing. Holy crap. They're into that. Even if all that is they want to rush to wherever the action is. Right. And maybe that's their thing. They don't know how to start the action. They don't want to be the focus of the action. And they're not really trying to steal the spotlight. They just want to get in on it. Right. They just want the spotlight widened so that they could play as well, because they want to have some fun. And I think a cool piece there for me is to, how do I then make it so that it's more logical in story, so that these characters want to go see Steve and Julie in the graveyard. And the reason they do is because they found a clue that they know Steve and Julie absolutely need. Oh my God, the graveyard's haunted. I just confirmed it. I got to go. Well, if you do that, then there now is a logic. You've connected that chain of reasoning and now they're going to it. And they feel awesome because they're helping each other out and they're not stealing the scene. They're a supporting character in the scene. And I think sometimes when I've seen this happen before, and it could be that they're not trying to steal the entire spotlight. They just want a sliver of it. They just want to be a really cool supporting actor, actress to step in and help the other people who are having the big scene, if that makes sense. Yeah? You're nodding at me?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think that totally makes sense. Trying to give them something to grab onto in the scene that's not interesting, if you will.
But it's, I mean, in like your Delta Green game.
Yeah.
If I do go and I talk to the beat cop and I go talk to that right. person, and she's got basically has nothing, you know, the scenario states this person knows fuck all nothing.
Right.
Right. Black and white. You don't have to buy that. You know, if they accidentally went to go talk to, I know fuck all nothing person, be like, well, she should be over there. That person could then get that cop could go, hang on, the radio on their chest, the radio in the car goes off, and they hear something at the graveyard.
Right.
And then the other player goes, holy shit, it's this, this, and this. And that they've got a reason to go. You know, you can use that to kind of drag people in.
I like to think sometimes that player characters are always wearing body cams that live stream
to each other,
video and audio in real time. And then it's just a matter of that. And everything is done by transporter speed so they could just appear in the next scene without any time lapse. But going to the time thing, I mean, you could easily just say, look, you're going to go to the library and nothing. You're there for
2 hours.
2 hours and 30 minutes.
30 seconds, whatever.
Yeah, nothing's there. Phone rings and they want you out at the graveyard. Like, I don't know. It's just so weird because it's at times you can just kind of, hey. And then it's not a big deal in the game. A lot of players won't care, like, okay, now we're all together and we can all have fun in this crime scene and see everything.
Yeah, whatever. Yep.
But at the same time, like, man, you know, you went an hour in the opposite direction. Like in Delta Green, not to pound that setting to death, but dude, there's times when you can fly across the country to a different state.
You could be in a different country. I could be like, look, I'm going to go from,
right,
you know, I'm in northern Minnesota. I'm going to go up to Canada and yes. I'm going to check out the thing I heard about and I'll be back tomorrow.
Right.
And there's literally no way, because you're not in Chicago.
Right.
Or Milwaukee or New York or whatever. And you can kind of poo-poo the fact that it's a son of a bitch to get 3 physical miles in that town or whatever it is. They're literally on the other end of the country, continent, right, on a boat halfway from between right. Australia. You're like, right, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, you're talking about splitting the party further than a 30-foot corridor.
Yeah. So one of the things when I've – for me, I like that because one of the things that I try to do when I see people in the groups I've run over the years trying to do that is I warn them. I do kind of break the wall a little bit and say, now remember, when you go, you're completely out of pocket. You can't come back.
You're not going to have any fun if you go that route.
Maybe. But I just warn the player, like, look, just so you know, you told me Lily wants to go to Alaska to check out this potential clue you all found. Great. She's going to Alaska. However, Eileen is leading the rest of the group to go talk to, you know, this other person in Chicago.
Fun zone.
Yeah.
Following the sign that says fun zone this fun way. Zone.
Yeah. And sometimes the player's like, nope, I'm fine. That's what my character would do. Lily's going to Alaska. I don't care if it's a waste of time. Okay, cool. And I've had players like willingly do that. We're like, I'm playing my character and my character would do this thing. And I know that might sacrifice my fun, but I will be okay watching Eileen and the rest of the players have fun because I'm doing what I think my character would do. Sometimes I have to say I don't understand that, but I also understand it, I guess, in the same way that, like, look, if that's okay for you, go do that thing.
Well, Brett, you need to take up smoking, because if you smoked, you just go outside and burn a couple. And then by the time you do that, you're back. Fun zone's done.
Yeah.
Smokers, man, they get it. Like, they're just like,
oh, totally.
Oh, this would
be right back.
Yeah, I'll be right back. Like, I'm going to go to Canada. I know there's nothing up there, but it'll give me a break to go burn one.
I do have a couple of guys in my group who smoke. So every once in a while, they'll be like, okay, well, you're doing this. I'm going to go smoke. So they're like, all right, they go leave. I'm like, good for you.
And they come back and they go, what did I miss?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Very much smelling like nicotine. Yes. Yeah. What I miss. Yes. That's what you missed.
Yeah. Oh, you missed it. They came across the freaking, you know, homicide scene. It's nuts, dude.
But to go to the spotlight hogging, we say it as a, oh my God, this person's a spotlight hog. They're dicks because they won't let anybody else have fun, right? They're just holding it and they won't let it go. And I think sometimes there's encroachment is what I think maybe we could call it spotlight encroaching, or I'm trying to get in on the action because that's where the fun is. So I think there is, depending on the game, sometimes it's easier to get them to the fun. Right. If you're in a dungeon and you've fallen through a pit trap, which is a weird chute that sends you out to the wrong end of the dungeon, and the rest of the group is going, fuck, where'd Jim go? And they can't fucking find it. It's too bad, you know, in a way, quote unquote, too bad. You can't just reasonably get over there like you would, say, from this side of Madison. That's like, I can't just pick up the phone and go, hey, come get me, you know. But I think it's, I started looking at it like, did the players do something wrong? Maybe they were a little pushy because they all want to get in on the action. They, you know, come on, let Alf and Lenny have their thing. But on the flip side, while I'm noodling out different ways to make sure that I split that up better next time, I really looked at it to say, wow, that was fun. It was so much fun. Everybody wanted to be involved. So from a game master perspective, that's a fucking win, man. That you designed something that was that good that everybody wanted to play with. Because it was all fun combats and stuff up until that point.
I still think it would be hilarious. Like an actual play where if you like, hey, I just want to record this session for prosperity and I'm just going to set up my phone here and hit record. And every time they go, Nick and Zave do something, it's always boring as shit. And no matter how mundane... how mundane a task Lenny wants to pursue, it's the most exciting,
thing in the world.
Evidence uncovering, and
every NPC has a voice and an action.
Otherwise
it's like reading box text. It's just boring.
Hilarious.
The hell, man.
Better yet, if they show up, everything turns boring. All right, so that's everything. You got everything. You guys are there. Lenny, you got all the clues and everything. So yeah. So what do you guys want to do now?
Lenny goes, it's action. The other guy show up, cut.
Yeah. You okay, wiped them all out. Single-handedly, Jason Bourne, all of them. And
let's coffee and donuts now.
Reinforcements are there. You guys show up. Like you just see the last guy fall. Boom, you know, right onto the ground. So, yeah, what do you want to do now?
Last Nazi's dead. Sorry. Right. Sorry. Everybody else is Indiana Jones. You're just a... It's an inadvertently they made NPCs, right?
I would never do that, by the way, to any of my players.
God, that would be funny as hell. It would actually make for an interesting curse, like the curse of boredom for your character. Like, sorry, you'll never be really there or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be hilarious. I would love to do that to Jeff.
Oh, driving bananas.
Captain Kirk, Jedi, Indiana Jones, yeah. Every Batman. Time he enters a scene is like nothing's happening.
Born. Yeah. Shows up with 82 batarangs, a lightsaber. He's just ready to roll.
Yeah.
Tips his fedora back and there's nothing. Nothing going on.
Nothing to do.
All the Nazis are dead. All this other stuff's gone.
I
think if nothing else, one of the things I thought was, for me, kind of a closing thought on the topic, so it was interesting that I've played with these guys for over 30 years.
Yeah.
You know, off and on or constantly, and we've always played together, and it's still weird behavior. Something still pops up because people are people, right? And I know these guys really well. These are like, I know you really well. If I was playing with you, you know, and it, every once in a while something happens, you're like, what the fuck is Brett doing? Why is he doing that? You know, and sometimes it's like, wow, this guy. I remember playing one time with my friends down here, and Alpha and I were standing outside after the game. He goes, "You okay?" I go, "I had a fucked up bad day at work, dude." He goes, "Yeah, I could tell something was off." I'm like, really? He goes, "Yeah, it's pretty obvious. You're not really. You weren't a lot of fun tonight." I'm like, "Oh, well, shit. You know, I was just a player, but I was just, and he was running the game, but I was being a jerk or rude. I didn't even notice it, right? Didn't even think about it. I just knew I was having a bad day at work, and I went to the game and." Apparently took it out on somebody or did something stupid, you know, and I'm like, oh, fuck. Well, I didn't know I did that. And it's just, it's interesting because even after a very long-term group like mine is there's still periodically like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You know, the advantage I have is I can pull on the side and I can go, hey, what the fuck is wrong with you? What's going on? Are you okay? What's wrong, man? Because I've known these guys for a long time. But even so, it's interesting. You could play with somebody, a long group, or you know Jeff for a very long time. Everything can be going really well. You think you've got this guy's number, man. Eileen and me, we've played forever. I got it. I know how to make her character dance and do this. And she knows how to play with my style. It's all good. It's all good. Nothing we could ever do would ever be, oh my God, what just happened? Because there's so many different inputs and outputs. So I think it's funny in a way because a lot of advice or ideas, you know, we have, or have talked about and other people say is it feels like it's almost geared towards a new group or, hey, I've had this new problem. And if nothing else, I'm here to tell you that it still happens to old guys in old man's group, right? It still pops up where somebody does something like, what the fuck? Everybody, you all know better. You know, I'm fair. You know, the group is having, you know, we can split scenes, right? You don't have to. Why did you guys all have to rush over to Alpha and Lenny's fun? Why didn't you just let them have fun for 5 fucking minutes? Why did you have to act like 2-year-olds? Right? It's just weird, but it happens. It happens. And I think those different ideas and those tools and things that you and I talked about previously, you know, I still try to figure that stuff out and improve and find different ways to solve these problems because they're still popping up.
Yeah, that is, it is pretty crazy that you can play with people for, you know, a long time and still like, we are running into this issue. Like we just met each other and it's our second session ever, or just started this game. Like we just started in the hobby and hey, how do you kick out somebody out of your group that doesn't mesh? Like,
how long have they been there? 35 years. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Yeah. You should have figured that out a while ago.
I just walked away. Yeah. That's too funny.
Anyway, man, nothing too heavy. I just, about that, I hadn't seen you in a while. So I wanted to check in on you. Yeah, make sure you're doing okay.
For sure. Likewise. Yeah. I guess in the chat down below, if you watch this, be interesting if you comment on whether you are spotlight person or if you're a game master and how you've handled spotlight.
The other thing that's interesting is whether or not you player or game master have different spotlight issues depending on the style of game or game you're playing. Right.
Right.
So let's say it's a Delta Green style Call of Cthulhu versus Forbidden Lands versus D&D versus Dungeon Crawl Classics or whatever you're playing. Have you noticed sometimes you within the same group that a certain game for whatever reason seems to elicit a different type of behavior?
Yeah, I would for sure. Yes, I would say definitely dependent on what the game is. Because I think when you're in, if you're in a game where it's you're dependent heavily upon the other participants to accomplish what you need to do, like,
yeah,
you know, class games, like when you're playing specific classes, maybe classless games, but then you start getting into archetypes or even skill sets that, like, I'm really good at blowing stuff up, so therefore I'm the blower stuff for upper guy. But I do agree. Like, I think the ones that probably don't suffer as much are the ones where the parties never split because you're there. It's only when, well, sometimes it is even in the fantasy, like we're searching a room 10 by 10, not very big. The one person goes over to the bed and finds the one thing, and everybody knows.
But it descends on the bed.
Yes, yes. The thief that comes across the little jewel that they want to slip into their pocket. I want to see if I noticed that little thieving bastard. And
I think the other, this just hit me when you said that, is the other piece of this is that understanding how and why people are doing it, which and how you can, the different things you could try to solve it. To me also comes into play when you're, if you're running a, you know, we have no background. My name is Fytor from Fytor Land. My family was killed by orcs. I'm here to kill orcs, and you're killing monsters, taking their stuff, grind. If you're doing that and you're having fun, good for you. Great. I played those games. I have a good time. But if you're trying to run a game or playing a game where Sean's character's backstory matters, Eileen's backstory matters, Tim's matters, you know, Roger's matters, it all matters. At some point, you want to have that encounter in Avalon where Chris's character gets to have an aside with an NPC because it's helping him to develop his character and his backstory and so forth, which is fun for some players and game masters. And you're doing that. That's even though most of the time the group is together, sometimes there's going to be a little split while you work on those individual components. They have individual goals, needs, and things you're trying to help them out with. If nothing else, for me as a player, one of the things that thinking about this does is when I see that happening, when I see Chris or Sean or someone who's game mastering for me shift the spotlight away from me to somebody else, I do my best to shut the fuck up and let them have their time. Which is really hard for me.
Yeah, just go and burn one. That's why you got to start smoking.
That's why you got to start smoking. Yeah. Yeah. Start smoking. Yeah. But you know what I'm saying is that it's a piece where if you realize, oh shit, I might be the problem. First rule is fuck, that's me. Second is, okay, I need to stop doing that or encourage people, you know, to take their time or whatever the case is. But there are very few. Sounds crass, but if you're playing like a board game style where crunch, you know, playing Descent or something where you just kind of mosey through. If you're playing with a nuanced character and you want to develop that character, you're going to need probably some time to have your little spotlight. And we as players and as game masters, we need to understand like, hey, make sure this person has the time they need and don't let other people encroach on it just because they're bored. Or just because they always want to be where the action is. Sometimes we got to say, nope, you're not there.
Right.
Or I'm sorry, it'll take you half hour to get there. Hold on. And let Steve and Julie have their encounter in the graveyard. And you show up just at the end of it. Or whatever. So anyway, that's all I got, man. You good?
I'm good.
I'll let you be. I need coffee now.
You going to take off?
I think I am. You cool with that?
I'm totally cool with that. I've been on for a good hour. That's what Brett's good. Like, it's in the contract. Hour.
It's in the contract.
Anything over
hours
that?
Only. It's double time.
Totally double time. Double credits. Yeah. Chris says, as a player, you can do a few things. Learn to be a good audience member. to your point, Brett, like go and smoke a cigarette. And see and see if it's okay to play other NPCs in that scene from the GM's point of view. Which is good, but I know I would have player characters screw it all up, so I don't give them that latitude.
I've had that happen, and I've had awesome results. And I've also had horrible results.
You're screwing up my game. The NPC would have never said that. Now I got to.
However, one of the things I learned when I had the horrible result is Brett, like a dumbass, gave the player the ability to play an NPC that was way too key. I let him play the wrong NPC. And that, which is fine. Like, oh, you know what? You can play the Lich King. Now, why did you let him do that? But you can, as Chris is saying, you can edit the scene. Sure. You can say, oh, actually, no, and this, that, and the other thing. And it's all good. And I think one of the key parts to what Chris is saying there is that it takes a little practice, and don't be afraid to try it. And the reason I say, pick the right NPC is what I like to do is I start small with it. Like, sure, you could be the beat cop, you know, and I've done that before. Lenny's like, can I be the cop? You could be the cop. Or I say, nope, not this time. Okay. And he's fine because he wants to be in on the action, but he wants to be, you know, be in on it, but not kind of annoying and blah, blah, you know? So you can always say no, like Chris says, or you can, anyway. So it is an option, and it is pretty cool. It can be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm being facetious. Of course it's a good option, but there is a weird, like, okay, if I'm going to play the cop, how much info do I know? Do I not know enough info? What do I convey? And sometimes that's like another side discussion, which is fine because then you got the whole party involved, you know, or the group, I guess. But it's fun. That's yay, RPGs and game mastering.
Well, the coolest parts about this hobby is that all of these weird things that we're talking, even not that this is horribly weird, but like, oh, I could give this to the player. I could do this. I could do this. So much can depend on what the group is comfortable with, who wants to do a thing, how comfortable you are as a game master, and you practice, you try. It's this wonderful, bizarre-ass social experiment that we're doing together all the time, telling this wonderful, kick-ass, one-of-a-kind joint story. Your version of Impossible Landscapes is going to be way different than mine or anybody else.
For sure.
And literally nothing wrong with that. It is the coolest, one of the coolest fucking things about this hobby. That the fun people are having in your game right now in Impossible Landscapes with Sean running it is fun that no one else can ever have. I don't believe it will never be exactly duplicated. It could be close,
right?
Could be similar, but it's not the same.
It's very hilarious as I download Delta Green Impossible Landscapes actual plays just to kind of understand what they're doing and how they're running it and things of that nature. And it's funny because you start at the beginning, and I'm like, yep, here it goes. Okay. And then it's like the same for like the first three episodes. And then it's like, oh, now is because it's.
Oh, look, divergence.
The game has to start. You know, that's, you know, any published adventure, I think that's the thing. Like, if you were to listen to Masks of Nyarlathotep, that's actual plays, it's always going to start. Either if you don't play the prelude, it's going to start in New York, and that's...
It's either Jackson Elias is dead or you're in New York, yeah.
Yeah, and then after that, it's like, who knows what's going to happen. But yeah, it's fun.
Well, that's a good hook, though.
It is.
I mean, that's to me, those are signs of a good hook. You know, for if the published adventure is solid and so forth, it starts a certain way, and then it diverges. And if it's a good adventure, good written one, it can diverge beautifully. And like I said, that's when... We started at the same place, but the folks with you or the folks with me or somebody else, they're having a lot of fun. No doubt they're having fun, but it is this wonderful, one-of-a-kind fun.
Right.
It cannot be repeated.
Right.
And it's one of the things that hooks me on this hobby, man. It really does.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
I'm going to go get coffee.
All right. Thanks, Brett. I give a round of applause to Mr. Brett Blazinski.
Oh, thank you, man.
You could find him on Twitter and our Discord if you are so inclined, and go buy Streets of Avalon, the creator behind the Streets of Avalon RPG setting, built for 5e, and maybe a new product coming up down the road with help from Chris S. in the chat and Encoded Designs. So always good to see my buddy Brett. Stop by, Brett.
This has been a Litterbox Studio production.